If you would, please open your Bibles to Mark chapter 5. Mark chapter 5. We are in a series called Encounters, and we have been looking at passages in Scripture where individuals and even groups have a direct encounter with God. We have spent, up to this point, all of our time in the Old Testament. Today, we are jumping into the New. We will be spending some time with Jesus. Now, I am going to do things a little differently today. You are not going to get a traditional lecture-type sermon. I don't think I've had amens and hallelujahs. I don't think I've ever got a woo-hoo before. That's the first one, Mary. You're going down in the journal for my biography. This is something that we've done before. It's a spiritual practice called Lectio Divina, or divine reading. And I believe that there is no greater voice than the voice of the Almighty. He has a way of speaking to us that touches Hebrews chapter 4 reminds us that the Word of God is living and active. This is not a dead letter. This is the living Word of God. And so what I want to do this morning is simply to invite you into the presence of God. If you have to, imagine yourself walking through the gates of heaven, and you see this very bright light coming from ahead, and you walk up to it, and you are standing before the throne of God. You are in His very presence. And as you're standing there, taking in the glory of God, you hear a voice that says, "Come. I want you to sit before the throne of God to receive His mercy and His grace and to find help in times of need. So we're going to spend some time in Mark chapter 5. It is a moving passage of Scripture. But before we actually read the text, I want us to begin with prayer. So if you would, bow your heads. Our loving and merciful God, we gather in Your presence this morning, seeking to hear Your voice through the words of Scripture. Father, open our hearts and minds that we may receive the message that You have for us today. Help us to be still and attentive to Your Spirit, trusting in Your wisdom and love. We ask this in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. So I want to read Mark chapter 5, verses 21 through 43. It is a lengthy reading. I'm going to try to read it slowly and clearly, but here's your role in the process. I want you to listen carefully to the passage. And you're listening for a particular word, a particular phrase, a particular image that stands out to you, right? That kind of rings in your ears or jumps the page. Right? It's going to be different for each person in the room, but as I read, there will probably be at least one thing that really stands out in the text. Whatever that is, I want you to grab it and hang on to it. Maybe underline it or highlight it in your Bibles. Maybe scratch it on the margins of your bulletin or a journal, but I want you to hang on to that passage because we're going to come, or that word, phrase, or image, because we're going to come back to it. So, if you have to, listen, close your eyes, but listen to the word of God. When Jesus had again crossed over by boat to the other side of the lake, a large crowd gathered around him while he was still by the lake. Then one of the synagogue leaders named Jairus came, and when he saw Jesus, he fell at his feet. He pleaded earnestly with him, My little daughter is dying. Please come and put your hands on her so that she will be healed and live. So Jesus went with him. A large crowd followed and pressed around him. And a woman was there who had been subject to bleeding for 12 years. She had suffered a great deal under the care of many doctors and had spent all she had. Yet instead of getting better, she grew worse. When she heard about Jesus, she came up behind him in the crowd and touched his cloak, because she thought, if I just touch his clothes, I will be healed. Immediately, her bleeding stopped, and she felt in her body that she was freed from her suffering. At once, Jesus realized that power had gone out of him. He turned around in the crowd and asked, who touched my clothes? You see the people crowding against you, his disciples answered, and yet you can ask, who touched me? But Jesus kept looking around to see who had done it. Then the woman, knowing what had happened to her, came and fell at his feet, trembling with fear, told him the whole truth. He said to her, daughter, your faith has healed you. Go in peace and be freed from your suffering. While Jesus was still speaking, some people came from the house of Jairus, the synagogue leader. Your daughter is dead, they said. Why bother the teacher anymore? Overhearing what they said, Jesus told them, don't be afraid. Just believe. He did not let anyone follow him except Peter, James, and John, the brother of James. When they came to the home of the synagogue leader, Jesus saw a commotion with people crying and wailing loudly. He went in and said to them, why all this commotion and wailing? This child is not dead, but asleep. But they laughed at him. After he put them all out, he took the child's father and mother and the disciples who were with him and went in where the child was. He took her by the hand and said, Tabitha kumai, little child or little girl, I say to you, get up. Immediately, the girl stood up and began to walk around. She was 12 years old. At this, they were completely astonished. He gave strict orders not to lay or to let anyone know about this and told them to give her something to eat. So, here's what I want you to do for the next couple of minutes. I want you to embrace a moment of silence. And focus on the word or the phrase from the passage that stood out to you. So first of all, just identify what word, phrase, or image stood out to you. Now that you have that word, phrase, or image, ask this question. What is God saying to you through this passage of Scripture. Why is it that that word, phrase, or image, why is it that it stood out to you? Why are you drawn to it? Why is God pulling your attention to that specific word, phrase, or image? We're going to pause for a few minutes. Just let the Holy Spirit guide your thoughts. What is God saying to you? How is He trying to get your attention? We're going to read the passage again. And as we listen to the passage a second time, consider how God might be inviting you to respond. What action do you need to take? What change do you need to make? What attitude needs to be cultivated? Or maybe even destroyed? What confession might He be asking you to make? Is He asking you to offer gratitude or praise? So as we read the text again slowly, listen to how God might be inviting you to respond. What does He want you to do? Let's listen again. When Jesus had again crossed by boat to the other side of the lake, a large crowd gathered around Him while He was by the lake. Then one of the synagogue leaders named Jairus came, and when he saw Jesus, he fell at His feet. He pleaded earnestly with Him, "My little daughter is dying. Please come, put your hands on her so that she will be healed and live." So Jesus went with him. A large crowd followed and pressed around Him. And a woman was there who had been subject to bleeding for 12 years. She had suffered a great deal under the care of many doctors and spent all she had. Yet instead of getting better, she grew worse. When she heard about Jesus, she came up behind Him in the crowd and touched His cloak, because she thought, "If I touch His clothes, I will be healed." Immediately, her bleeding stopped, and she felt in her body that she was freed from her suffering. At once, Jesus realized that power had gone out from Him. He turned around in the crowd and asked, "Who touched my clothes?" "You see the people crowding against you," His disciples answered, "and yet you can ask, 'Who touched me?'" But Jesus kept looking around to see who had done it. Then the woman, knowing what had happened to her, came and fell at His feet, trembling with fear, told Him the whole truth. He said to her, "Daughter, your faith has healed you. Go in peace and be freed from your suffering." While Jesus was still speaking, some came from the house of Jairus, the synagogue leader. "Your daughter is dead," they said. "Why bother the teacher anymore?" Overhearing what they said, Jesus told them, "Don't be afraid. Just believe." He did not let anyone follow Him except Peter, James, and John, the brother of James. When they came to the home of the synagogue leader, Jesus saw a commotion with people crying and wailing loudly. He went in and said to them, why all this commotion and wailing? This child is not dead, but asleep. But they laughed at him. After he put them all out, he took the child's father and mother and the disciples who were with him and went in where the child was. He took her by the hand and said to her, Tabitha kumai, which means little girl, I say to you, get up. Immediately the little girl stood up and began to walk around. She was 12 years old. At this, they were completely astonished. He gave strict orders not to let anyone know about this and told them to get her something to eat. So, I'm going to give you an opportunity to share. You do not have to respond. You are invited to respond. But I'm going to ask a couple of questions for you to answer. As you think about the story, and you think about Jairus and his plea, begging Jesus to come to his home and to heal her daughter and to save her from death, what emotions might Jairus have felt as he approached Jesus? What emotions may he have felt as he approached Jesus? And how does this posture at falling at Jesus' feet speak of his faith and his desperation? If you didn't hear Adam, he said that a father's love will go to any lengths to save his child. I think it's significant that the passage mentions that he was a synagogue leader. Jesus was loved by the crowds, but for the most part, the leaders of the Jews, all right, found Jesus to be nothing more than a troublemaker, a rebel, someone who needed to be silenced. So by just going up to Jesus, he is putting probably a lot on the line, isn't he? His reputation, maybe his career, he could possibly be removed from the synagogue for interacting with this rebel rabbi named Jesus from Nazareth. Yet he's willing to put it all on the line for someone he loves. Gary? Yeah, so Gary makes a good point. You see the tone and the reaction of the crowd change. They're gathering around him. They're thronging around him. So think of someone famous and a paparazzi, you know, gathering around trying to get as close to a celebrity as they can. That's the image here. They're pressing in on Jesus, all right? And they're there because they believe that he is capable of doing something or saying something that is profound and powerful. And yet, when Jesus says, this girl's not asleep, dead, she's just asleep, they what? They laugh. So what does that tell us about human nature? We're stubborn. We'll believe things to a point. All right, we're material. Tells me that we're awful fickle, right? It's easy to believe when Jesus is doing miracles and darkness is being turned to light, all right? Sin is being overcome. He is blessing us in very visible, tangible ways. But sometimes when things get difficult or desperate or depressing, our faith begins to waver, doesn't it? Here's what I want you to know is that the bridge between desperation and difficulty in life and to Jesus' healing power is faith. That's the emphasis of the passage. Both this man who is very highly regarded in society, all right, who is probably wealthy, respected, he has faith as much as this woman who would be declared to be unclean, who's been ostracized from society, who's lost everything that she has. And more than likely, the text seems to indicate, she's probably living on the streets. She spent all she has. She probably mortgaged her home, her inheritance, every penny. So you couldn't have two more starkly different people. The religious leader and one of the least of these. And yet they have something in common. Their faith. What do you think motivated the woman to believe that just touching Jesus' cloak would heal her? And how does that challenge your faith? See, the word that stood out to me is the word believe. The word believe in Scripture can have many different connotations. But I think probably the best way to interpret or describe faith is the word trust. He's not saying believe, you know, have some thoughts into your head that you agree with. That's not what he's asking. He's asking them to trust him. And I realize that I do not trust God like I should. That I convince myself there are situations in my life that he cannot touch, that he cannot heal. And so I go about it on my own strength, my own wisdom, my own knowledge, trying to just make things right without him. And so the word trust stood out to me. And then, as if the Spirit was prompting me, Proverbs chapter 3 began to just ring in my ears, where Solomon says, "Trust in the Lord with all your heart and do not rely on your own insight. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he will make straight your paths. Do not be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and turn away from evil." But listen to this. "It will be healing for your flesh and a refreshment for your body." Very clear connection between Proverbs 3 and Mark chapter 5. It's about healing. Can I trust in God? Can I acknowledge him in all my ways, where I just turn over just portions of my life to God? Or do I hand him the really messy, gritty stuff? It's a question we all have to ask. You know, Jesus' response to the woman's touch, I think, reveals to us that Jesus gives attention to individual needs. He cares about us as the flock, but he also cares about us as individual sheep. And that helps us, I think, remember that we can live out our faith in difficult and desperate circumstances, knowing that Jesus is with us. So, what word, phrase, or idea stood out to you? I invite you to live with it, not just as we sit in this place, but as you leave here today, take it with you. Ask yourself, why did God pull that to my attention? What is he trying to say to me? And then ask, what is he asking me to do? What is he asking me to do? Let's end with a word of prayer and a blessing. And then we will stand and Jaron will lead us in a song. Please, bow your heads. Gracious God, we thank you for the gift of your word and for the way you speak to us through Scripture. We are grateful for the faith and courage of Jairus and the woman who touched Jesus' cloak. Help us, Father, to trust in your power and love, no matter the circumstances we face. May the words we have heard today take root in our hearts and bear fruit, Father, in our lives. Guide us with your Spirit as we seek to follow you more closely today, this week, this month. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Now may the Lord of peace himself give you peace at all times and in all ways. The Lord be with you all.